So the issue that you've written about, Martin, is the one that's sort of front and center of the campaign all the time. Give us a sort of overview of how economic growth and is playing in the campaign and how the issue is panning out.
Well, economic growth, as you know, has been relatively weak, even weaker, I think, than we thought at the beginning of this year. We've gone into that sort of summer swoon that unfortunately seems to be rather familiar. If you look back historically, certainly the economists who look at election campaigns will tell you that it's very hard for an incumbent to get reelected if the economy is growing as slowly as ours is right now. So I think it's playing as a problem for President Obama as he tries to get reelected. And he's having to look at some of the reasons why that's occurring. He can point out, which he is, that some of his proposals to improve growth and increase the number of jobs have been turned down in the Congress. But same time, if the economy is not doing well, people are going to tend to blame the incumbent president. Now, on the other side of the coin, I think Romney has had a hard time taking full advantage of the weak economy. One problem is that he is, he appears to be someone who is a little out of touch with ordinary working people. Now, I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but that's the perception, and certainly the Obama campaign is kind of playing that up and saying, yeah, he's from this wealthy family. He was with Bain Capital, and they specialized in laying people off and closing companies and all of that. And I don't think I want to get into the rights and wrongs of that debate, but I think he certainly has that potential disadvantage of being not in touch with the ordinary working man and woman. It's a nasty campaign, as campaigns often are, and I think Romney is blaming the Obama administration for the bad economy, and the Obama campaign is turning around and saying Romney's not the right person to deal with the economy. His background is not suitable for someone who wants to help the middle class or help working Americans.
So let's go back and figure out what one can reasonably say about the actual record here. The Obama administration, it's an awkward argument, but their basic argument is, but for our policies, it would have been much worse. How do you assess that claim? And to what extent can the administration and the president, based on its record, reasonably take credit for really nasty dogs here that haven't barked?
Well, he can point out, and he is pointing out, that the economy was in terrible shape when he took over. I believe that most opinion polls, if you ask people what was the reason for the problem, they will sort of go back before Obama and say it started before he got there, and they blame President Bush and his administration to some degree. So he can claim that things were very bad when he took over, and they were. The economy was going into free fall in the early part of 2009, having started to do that in 2008. And of course, the financial sector was very weak. So he had to come in and take emergency measures, some of which, in fairness, were started under Paulson, under the Bush administration, but he took them over the top to try to rescue the financial system, and then he instituted a stimulus package to try to turn things around. Now, did they turn things around? Well, the economy didn't keep falling, and actually by the end of 2009 and the beginning of 2010, things were starting to look much better. So the free fall was ended and the economy it was beginning to recover.
Now can I stop you there? Because I think one of the issues that divides the parties, which is, I suppose, natural in the context of a campaign, is the question of whether but for the administration's policies, that free fall would have been averted naturally, or whether we were actually sinking into the abyss and that provided a bottom. Is there any good way to know the answer to that question? As in, you know, is this a situation where the economy found its bottom, or is this a situation in which federal intervention, starting in the Bush administration, accelerating in the Obama administration, helped define a bottom?
It's hard to be definitive. I find it hard to be definitive about it. Some do see the evidence very clearly. I feel it is a little bit cloudy. The thing I think I'm most confident about is that the financial sector would not have recovered without active steps by the federal government. And those were, of course, started under Paulson and Bernanke, and Tim Geithner was at the New York Fed. And so they were stepping in to try to either rescue or deal with the failing financial institutions. And I think that would have spread and gotten worse had those steps not been taken. Paulson, I think, made the mistake. He wanted to do these reverse auctions. Maybe nobody remembers those anymore. I don't think that worked very well. So I think the Obama administration took the right step of injecting capital into financial institutions, and that turned them around. Now, everybody wants to blame the banks, and there is some blame there to go around. But it, you know, we need an active financial sector. We need a sound financial sector, or else the economy would not have been in any position to recover. So turnaround of the financial sector, it's clear that federal intervention was necessary. Now, the stimulus package. I supported the stimulus package. I think in the situation we were in, that a Keynesian fiscal stimulus is the right thing to do. I think that's true. Even some of my conservative friends who are economists believe that also, and there was sort of widespread support that we should do something. Now, was it a great stimulus, or would the economy have started to recover without it? That's harder to say. My own examination of the evidence suggests that maybe the economy would have begun to turn around even without the fiscal stimulus. But others point to some empirical studies that look historically at what happened, and they say, yeah, there would have been a much deeper recession, there would have been a slower recovery if it hadn't been there. I think it was the right thing to do. I'm inclined to think it made some difference. I'm not sure it's as clear or decisive as rescuing the financial sector was.
Mm-hmm. So are there steps that the administration took that you believe were in error, or steps that they failed to take that you think the situation really called for that didn't happen?
Well, I think the stimulus package, and this is somewhat with the benefit of hindsight, I think it should have been probably more carefully designed, a little bit longer lasting, and perhaps even a bit bigger, to do some concrete things so that it generated a bit more support. People could see what was coming of it. Now, some of it was just putting money in people's pockets, and I think that did help a little bit. Once that money's gone, you don't seem to get much continuation of that effect. Some of it was things like, mending bridges and roads, which I think was the right thing to do. And some people say, all our bridges are falling down. Well, when I drive around, it seems like they're trying to fix every bridge that I am trying to go over. So I think that there was work that was done there, and every street in Washington seems to be dug up. So I think there was, that did create some jobs, and I think it does have a lasting impact. But it wasn't that large, and it's running off now. So that effect is sort of fading away. So maybe a more carefully designed stimulus package that was a bit bigger and lasted a bit longer. And I say that because I'm not sure I would have got it right myself, but with the benefit of hindsight, I think we can see that.
You say in the paper that there was a level of distraction in terms of other major policy initiatives from the sort of core restoring economic growth agenda. Do you think that was a significant factor in, or do you think they basically did the things that they knew how to do and that reasonable people in their position would have known how to do, and some of it worked better than others?
Well, there's a question around the healthcare plan, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. I am a supporter that we need to expand healthcare coverage to everyone, but I also believe that we need to take very active steps to control the cost of it. So I think passing the Healthcare Act when he did was courageous. It probably will have a permanent effect. I don't think it'll get repealed anytime soon. So, you know, there's that positive part to it. But at the same time, I think it raised fears among many Americans that the cost of their health care was going to go up. Either taxes were going to go up or they were going to have to pay more for health care. I'm not sure they were right about that, but I think that fear was there. And so it became very unpopular. And of course, that was played on by the Republicans. So I'm not sure that doing the Affordable Care Act, particularly with its mandate about care, that you have to have care, was the right thing to do at that time when the economy was so weak, when consumers were scared, when workers were afraid they were going to lose jobs. I think it did become, if you like, a distraction, or it became something that had a negative effect on the perception of Obama, and hence, you know, a belief that he was going to really change the economic situation.
So let's talk about the Republican critique of this record. Your account of the record is, I think, largely sympathetic in terms of the administration's basically doing the set of things that reasonable people in their position would have known to do. The Republican candidate for Obama's office obviously will not and probably should not take that sympathetic look at it. How do you evaluate Romney's critique of the president, and what part of it, in your judgment, has any merit?
Well, I said this is sort of a nasty campaign, and as it is on both sides. You know, I think Romney, based on his record as governor of Massachusetts, was a pretty reasonable guy. I think what he's campaigning on is that all the problems we're seeing now are because Obama has introduced so much regulation and put so many restrictions on the economy, and if we were to eliminate those restrictions, then we would get better growth. And he also blames Obama for the budget deficit, although he himself proposes to cut taxes, so I'm not sure he's got a plan for the deficit either, but I think his critique of Obama is that Obama hasn't done enough about the deficit. Okay, on the regulation side, I think that's largely nonsense. I don't think there's much evidence that either the financial reform or the Affordable Care Act are playing a really important role in why the recovery has been so slow. So I don't agree with that. And in fact, if you look back historically, or to the Bush administration, I should say, I mean, there was a lot of deregulation. There was a lot of deregulation actually was done before the Bush administration under Reagan, under Bush 1, even under Clinton. We had a lot of deregulation. It was under Clinton that we repealed Glass-Steagall and so on, and did a fair amount of deregulation of the financial sector. So to say that this financial crisis and the recession that followed is a result of too much regulation or somehow, that seems to be nonsensical to me. In fact, we don't need necessarily more regulation, but we need the right kind of regulation. And I certainly think we needed to take a look at the financial sector and what should be done about that. Now, his criticism that Obama hasn't done enough about the deficit, I would tend to agree with. Not that I think Obama should be trying to close the deficit right now, because that would be too contractionary. But I think Obama should have probably done more. I shouldn't say probably. He should have done more to either sign on to or make use of the Simpson-Bowles plan that he commissioned, or here at Brookings, Alice Rivlin and Senator Domenici have an alternative plan. So there's some very good ideas and plans out there about how you deal with the deficit in the long run. And he's been reluctant to embrace any of those. So I agree with Romney that not enough has been done about the deficit. Now, in fairness to Obama, you said I'm sympathetic. Yes, I am sympathetic. because the Republicans certainly haven't made his life any easier on that, because they have all signed in blood or whatever that they're not going to raise taxes, and that the only way to balance the budget is to cut spending. And if you really did that, if you really tried to balance the budget without raising taxes or without getting more revenues in some way, then you're going to really be slashing Medicare and Social Security or defense or something like that, things that I don't think Americans really want to do.
So let's try to put this all together into what the next administration should do. Is there a set of things that, whether the next president is a second term of Barack Obama or a first term of Mitt Romney, that the situation clearly calls for now at the level of federal policymaking? Or are we in a zone where we just kind of have to wait out Europe, wait out whatever other sources of instability and uncertainty are kind of holding back growth at this point?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I think we are gonna have to wait it out to some degree. I don't think there's anything in the set of policies that are really available to us that would make a dramatic difference to growth over the next 12 to 18 months. But that doesn't mean we couldn't do anything. I do think we need to resolve this fiscal cliff and the long-term budget situation. And that will have to be done soon after the election, or certainly soon in the new year. Otherwise, there are going to be some very negative consequences to that. So what we need to do is not to do anything too contractionary. In other words, not try to raise taxes or cut spending too much for the next year or so, because I think that would take money out of people's pockets and help us slide back into recession, not move forward. There may be a certain amount we can do on stimulus. I would do a bit more to help states and localities, because they're helping drag down the economy right now. So I would give more federal support to states and localities. I think that would help. To the extent that we can help Europe, I would do that. That's very unpopular, and there's not much you can really do in saying, okay, we're going to give American taxpayer money to support Europe. You wouldn't get anywhere with that, even though it might be in our best interest to do it, to help them. Because if Europe goes down, it certainly will drag us down with it. It has already dragged us down to some degree. But to the extent that you can, through the Federal Reserve, which is already doing it, or to some extent through the IMF, you could grease the wheels of what the Europeans are trying to do. I think that would be a good thing to do also. Now, something that I hadn't really gotten into in the paper, but have since looked at quite a bit, is the potential for increasing private investment as a result of these new discoveries in energy. It's, again, controversial. Fracking is not very popular. I'm not an energy expert, but those who are, I think, believe that it can be done safely, that's to say in a way that's environmentally sound, provided you get the regulatory environment right. And I think if we do that, we can have, over the next several years, I think most people are predicting it, greatly increased supply of natural gas, and even some increases in domestically produced petroleum. And we're starting to see already that that's having an effect on private sector investment. You're starting to see chemical companies thinking, oh, it's a good place to be. I was talking to a German executive the other day, and they're certainly looking at moving plants to the United States, or not necessarily moving them, but building plants in the United States to take advantage of the low-cost energy. It could make a lot of difference in transportation, having trucks run on either compressed natural gas or liquefied natural gas. So I do think it's I don't know about once in a lifetime, but it's certainly a big shock to our economy, in the sense that it's changed our energy equation, and I think made certain kinds of investment much more attractive. So to the extent that the federal government can, not forsake regulation, because this is environmentally dangerous, but can do the regulation in an expedited way that still allows for environmental protection, I think it's got a role to play in helping that along also.
One last question. In a lot of these conversations, on a lot of the issues that play in the campaign. There's a sense, the more you talk, that the path dependencies of the issues themselves are so determinative of policy that the rhetorical differences between the candidates actually amount to much less than they seem to when they're debating the issues. This subject, they seem actually, in fact, quite different from one another. They're proposing very different things. They're criticizing each other on big features of one another's political and economic personalities. How different is the world of recreating and invigorating economic growth if Barack Obama is reelected than if Mitt Romney is elected?
Probably not as different as the rhetoric today sounds. I think Romney, as president, would face many of the same constraints and many of the same issues that Obama is facing. I don't think he would end up repealing the Dodd-Frank legislation, for example. He might try to get some amendments through, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. He's certainly not going to do anything to try to implement the Affordable Care Act, but again, I don't think he's necessarily going to repeal it. Is he actually going to cut taxes the way he's proposed doing? I don't see how he can. He's got the pressures on the budget over the next 4 to 8 years that anyone else as president would have. He's going to have to face up to the reality of how he's going to keep the budget under control, and I think that would make it very difficult for him to cut taxes. Now, he'd be more reluctant to raise taxes than I think probably Obama would, which again, in my view, makes life more difficult, because I think we need a balance of spending cuts and or controlling spending growth, particularly in healthcare, and increases in revenues. And he'll be much more on the spending cut side. But you know, it's funny, a lot of those spending cuts which Republicans talk about, you know, when it comes right down to it, are they going to really cut Medicare? I don't know. Medicare is very popular. It's not going to be so easy to make those big cuts. I mean, the Ryan budget's all very well, but if it actually happens, politically, it'd be quite difficult. So yes, there will be differences. There'll be much more emphasis on leave it to the market. There'll be much more emphasis on getting the government out of the way. There'll be more emphasis on cutting taxes. But the actual reality of the problems that we face, I think, will force more similarity than certainly you hear in the campaign.
Martin, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.